Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's HIGHWAY.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Tell the children's church, just we're giving Janet a good 30 minutes. It's your birthday, so if she goes 35, then be nice.
It's my birthday, and I can preach as long as I like to. No, I said thank you for spoiling me. It was so unexpected. It really, really was. And I'm glad whoever decided to give me orchids, very wise indeed, because I do not have green fingers. And orchids seem to be the only thing that have lived under my tender loving care. And I found out that it's probably because they're more like an air kind of a plant. They grow apparently in cork and bark, cork bark and polystyrene. So, yeah, so that's why. Anything that needs soil and green and roots and they don't like me, or I don't like them, or whatever. I just always feel bad when people give me one because I know what it's going to look like for lap. No matter how hard I try to water and all that. You know, I just want to tell you a little bit about me, because you might think, oh, Janet's so lucky. She's got all this attention on her birthday. My birthday, nobody spoke to me. Nobody phoned me. Nobody loved on me. And seriously, I am. I'm hugely blessed. But when I was about 25, I would have rather have died than this happened to me. That was what I was like. I remember Greg and Michelle and Stephen and I, we used to celebrate the girls' birthdays together. And we went to a restaurant for Greg and Michelle and Stephen and Janet, and the guys arranged that somehow they'd bring a sparkler or a song. And that was before Spur Days, where people didn't sing in restaurants, and it wasn't expected. And the next thing, I saw these guys coming out, either with a birthday candle or a sparkler. I got up and I ran and I hid in the toilet. And Michelle very graciously sat there and let them sing to her. So I'm just saying, so what you've seen today is actually a miracle, that I actually can even stand here and talk. I would have rather have died when I was younger than do what I'm doing today and have all that attention on me. Stephen was my bodyguard. I'd hide behind. Don't go. Don't leave me. But today I think I've got a word for you guys, ladies as well. It's a word that kind of caught my heart, I would say, the beginning of the year. And it's been resonating ever since then. And Stephen started speaking about it, and I started getting re-excited about it. And it's the word restore. Da-da-da-da. Basically, thanks, Gary. I see you all on your own now. You okay? It's resting in the cross. You can see you're resting in the cross there. And restore, I think, is probably one of the most underutilized words for Christians. We all go hallelujah, we all go amen, we all do praise God. But I don't often hear Christians saying, restore. And that's what I'm going to be speaking to you about this morning. Is I want you to leave here today saying, restore in your everyday life. Just as you'd say, amen or hallelujah. Now, where this word was birthed from is the beginning of 2015. But I only found out, there was a prophetic word that kind of hit our email only the beginning of 2016. Who knows, South Africa's always behind the trends. Hello, but it doesn't matter. You can be before, behind, whatever. It does get to us. You know, we're behind the trends in fashion, and everything seems to be birthed in America. It makes me ill, but anyway, other than the heart transplant, which was birthed here. But I mean, there are many more of us that are going to start birthing the visions and the words and the trends of God. It's amazing how it's something that has to be restored to South Africans is the birthing of the revelations of God. Anyway, so I'm going to read right at the end the prophetic word from Graham Cook. And then when I was doing my little Google internet search on the word restore, I discovered it was a word that Joseph Prince brought to his church at the beginning of 2015. So we are definitely behind the curve, but we're still in the curve. So it doesn't matter. And I just thought to myself, you know, when Daniel spoke yesterday, because when you think of the word restore, you think of making something that's not looking quite good look attractive and usable again. I mean, that's what I would, hey? If you think of the word restore, it's restoring something. And then I thought to myself, when I want to restore a piece of furniture or something, the first thing I've got to do is I've got to get a picture of what I want that thing to look like. You don't just take a bucket of paint and throw it over and hope it's going to look good. You actually get a picture. I want it dark here. I want it light here. I want this made shabby chic. I want this. I want that. And you keep that picture. And what Daniel said last week to you is vitally important. We're going to speak about restoration of you personally and restoration of this house. But if you're not restored personally, you will not add to the value of the restoration of this house. So we've got to start with you, and it's going to overflow into this place. So you need to get a picture of what you want your life to look like. And put it in your mind, put it in your heart, whatever. And then you can begin to restore your life so that you can look like the picture that God has given you. And the scripture of faith is a confidence. Oh, good, we've got it. That what we hope for, our picture, will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. Let me tell you what, if you take that picture and you put it up in your life, you're going to get an assurance of what you cannot see, and faith will begin to rise up in you, because little by little, corners are going to begin to develop of whatever you're wanting to have restored. And I just wanted to say that faith restoration, the grace message, work hand in glove. You can't have one without the other, otherwise you're shortchanging yourselves. And restoration is very vogue at the moment. Very vogue. Taking something shabby and making it chic. Taking something old and restoring. If you've got a pallet jacks, if you've got kids in your little thing, everything that's been used there, basically restored stuff. And it's beautiful. Got a Moya. Most of the stuff there that they're using is restored. People these days are restoring their faces, their hairstyles. Dr. Henry is our plastic surgeon. He'll tell you, people want to restore the way that they look. Music, remix. People are restoring old songs and making them new. There's something that's happening in the natural realm, but it's a reflection of what is happening in the spirit realm. Because the minute God starts breathing something over the church, you'll start seeing it enter and grab a hold of people here and there. And all of a sudden, the thing of restoration begins to manifest in the natural. And that's what happens. So God is breathing restore into mankind. And you're beginning to see it manifest in the natural. And God wants to take your shabby life, and he wants to make it. That you can be not shabby chic, you can just be chic. We'll drop the shabby. I mean, I also saw like this little ad at my hairdresser's, this little reiki thing in the toilet, and it says, restore your sense of well-being. You know, everything is about restore. I mean, since I've been doing this word study, everywhere you look, restore, 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 restore. It's like actually crazy. So often what you're seeing manifests in the natural is happening in the spirit realm, and we need to grab a hold of it. And we all have a purpose. Just as like when you see a piece of rubbish, if you're a hobby addict, you grab a hold of this because this piece of rubbish has got a purpose. Who knows? Who lives with people that have rubbish that have a purpose? And that's because they've got restorations in their spirit. When we restore something, okay, let's go back to building and even to our lives. If the foundations are shot and God restores you, there's going to be a time where your life is going to come crumbling down. or the building you're building is going to come crumbling down. So foundations and restoration are vitally important. And a lot of you feel like you have been going through a strip-down process. Just as if you get a piece of furniture or a home, you destroy a lot of it in order to restore it. You break down walls, you take off the top layer, and there's a lot of uncomfortable. If that was an alive object, it'd be shining at you. Ouch, 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 ouch. And I think we all have been shouting ouch in the spirit realm and into what's happening in our spirits and thinking, faith, grace, what's this all about? This is flipping painful. But God is restoring your foundations. He's got to get to the bottom part of it, because if you build up on something that isn't totally restored in its foundation and its substance, it will not stand. Then you'll see, according to the covenant of the law, the minimum that you would have restored to you is twofold. We see that in Job. Lost everything, he got twice as much. In Exodus 22, you see, if someone steals an ox or a sheep and then kills or sells it, the thief must pay back. We've all spoken about this in church, eh? The thief must pay you back. For each oxen that is stolen, they've got to give you back 5. That's a lot of money. If you do your Lobola system, you would know that an oxen is a lot of money. It's a lot more expensive than a cow. Okay? Right? Well, it depends on who you are. And 4 sheep for each sheep that was stolen. And I just want to say today, God is the restoration industry. And when he restores, he's going to restore to you in quantity and quality more than what was taken. Minimum of double. And that's what I can say to you based on the word of God. God is the interior decorator and the restorer of our lives. I'm just going to quickly have some scriptures go up there. Jeremiah 31-24, he restores fortunes. Jeremiah 30:17, he restores health. 2 Chronicles 25:13, he restores brokenness. And Jeremiah 30, he restores lands. I mean, isn't he an amazing God? He restores everything. So I believe as a church, our settlement cracks in our foundation. Am I talking too long on one thing? Okay, I wish I had a clock. I must put a clock here. Our settlement foundations have settled. And God, I really, really believe this, that God can begin to build up and outward. I think the cracks are fixed, settlements taken place, and he can start with the finishing touches. Up, out, and finishing touches. I'm going to read a scripture now, which is probably the scripture that is the basis for my preach today. And it's from Isaiah 42, verse 22. But this is a people, that's us, they're talking to Israel then, plundered and looted. They are all of them trapped in holes, hidden in prisons. Some of the versions will say hiding in rooms. They have become plundered, no one to rescue, spoil with none to say, and restore. In many versions it says, no one says restore. There's no one left to say rebuild. There's no one left to say restore, because we're all so caught up in our losses that no one is stepping out and saying restore. And it's a scripture that I want to grab a hold of our heart, because God says there's no one. No one is saying restore. And I just wanted that from today, when you experience a loss of your health, a loss of your children's love, a loss of possessions, a loss of your mind, just say, restore. Restore. And I'm going to tell you why you're going to want to say restore, because it's an incredibly powerful word. I mean, I was just thinking of Daphne, who doesn't have insurance and her house was plundered. She needs to say restore. This is our heavenly insurance policy. If you don't have an insurance policy, this is your heavenly insurance policy. But God says he will restore twice or more of what was stolen. So if you go into your bag in the shops and your cell phone's gone or your wallet's gone out of your back pocket where it shouldn't be in the first place, I just want you to say, restore. What I did, because I want us to see our losses as God's opportunities, is I did a word study on the word restoration, restore, and I think it's going to come up if it didn't jump all over. A funny little Hebrew word, and I don't know why I did it. I've never done a Hebrew study before, but I did it because I felt like it, and it was fun. This word is called aruka. Who's heard of the word aruka? Say restore. I want to hear you say restore. Think of something that was stolen from you in the last while. Say restore. Restore. I want you to be saying restore. And I love the way that this word has evolved. What you're seeing there is what you would call modern Hebrew. So just like our bushmen and cavemen used to write in little picture forms, Hebrew has evolved from picture forms into modern writing, like the ABCs. They've had to do that. But with Hebrew, every little picture that you see, even the little boom that goes to the top, has a meaning. So when you see that word restore, and if you were Hebrew and you looked at it, you would say restoration, restore, it has such a greater meaning than that. And that's what I want to share with you now. Because aruka means good health, healing, recovery, repair, shalom, and wholeness, safety, prosperity, harmony, well-being. So when you're saying restore, you're saying that over your life. Okay. And we're just going to do each little digit, each little letter. I'm not going to go into if I had to teach you on each of those words, I probably need 4 Sundays. Because each of those break up into other little streams. And you can see the roots of where they come from. And it's pretty amazing and even a lot deeper than what I'm sharing with you now. The first letter in restore is the hey. No, that's the last one. Can we go back to the first one? It's the hey. That's aruka. Can we go back to the first one? Oh, there you are. Sorry. Go back down. Sorry, I was looking up at aruka. There. That's the hey of the word restore. Now, you pronounce that little funny digit as hey. Like what your parents say. What did you say? You don't say hey. You say, pardon me. That's how you say hey. Hey, did you go there? Hey, what did you say? You know, South Africans, we love our word hey. You know, my mom would say, I'm going to give you some straw. But anyway, now that I'm speaking Hebrew, I'm allowed to say hey. Okay. It's a picture of God and humanity united. It says, look, behold God's creative power. Psalm 33 verse 6 says it's the breath of his mouth. So in creation, we saw his hey. And then what happens is this is a picture of what that hey has evolved from. So it's got a picture graph. Each letter's got a picture graph. Because you, the picture graph, please. I must learn how to do the thing Jamie does, hey? With the man with his hands raised. Got it over there. Okay, it's just coming next to him. Shouldn't have, but it's fine. So you'll see there, that's the picture graph of the word hey. So in the years and years ago, if you said hey, that's how it would have looked. And what it is it's a man with his hands raised, and he's asking God to impart his power to him. So that's where that one comes from. It links broken mankind with the living power of God. So it's the restoration of God-man on earth, Jesus, and then us because of the covenant. His breath, his hay, was breathed both into Sarah and Abraham when he made a covenant with them. They all got the ha, the H. Remember, we've all been taught on that, hey? It was Sarah, it was Abraham, and then when God made a covenant, he said, ha, hey, and he put it in. So he breathed his hay, and he's breathed his hay into us through Jesus Christ. so that we can have that covenant, that life that was intended for us. The definition of hay is that if you have the hay of God in your life, you become alive. So in summary, hay is the restoration of the promises of life and the covenants of God coming to us. So you got that? Not too heavy? Too heavy for anybody? Just remember, hay is the restoration of God inside of you so that his power, his covenant is manifest on you and in you. Then the second one letter is the kaf. Okay, we've got both a little picture graph as well as the kaf there. This one is the modern one. The other one, it looks like this, is the original one and how it's evolved. So you've got the kaf, and it sounds like kef, I think, or cough. Cough. Okay? So, hey, Mom. You're going to remember this, eh? Sounds like cough. And what it is, it's a picture of a crown, a man with a crown. Can you see that in the Bushman painting? Can you all see that? The man with the crown? On the bottom one that looks like this? But it's also a picture of the palm of the hand. And what it's speaking about is something that is latent, something that is dormant in your life will be resurrected. It's speaking about the restoration of your potential. And so many of us have buried our potential because we're like in these little caves and hiding in our rooms because we've been plundered. And this is speaking about the restoration. The palm is also the location of power, power of God. What do you do when you pray for somebody? You put your hands on them, your palm on them. I don't put my nose up on them. I don't put my back of my hand on them. We do these things, but we don't even know why we're doing it, because we're letting the latent potential, the inner power of God that might even look like it's dormant, dead, or fast asleep, come up and rise up and flow through us. When we bless our children, not with a smack, but with our hands, we are cuffing them. We are letting the latent power of God flow through us to bless them. Our palms represent both the potential and the actual. Is this all, you all with me? It's a conductor between heaven and earth. Shane, you know, I'm going to look at you because I'll embarrass you. Whenever people yawned when I preached, I used to tell them to stop it because it made me feel like I was boring. So I won't look at you, Shane, okay? Just don't yawn again. Okay. What is latent on earth is going to arise through the kaf of God. Kaf is a picture of God's power, the King of glory, coming to earth through our hands. I mean, isn't that amazing? The palm of God. You know, hands are so important in the scriptures. Like God even says, I've engraved you in my hands. But actually that word was, I've tattooed you. And it wasn't even, I think I've told you before, it wasn't even like a little ink tattoo. When he speaks about, I've tattooed you, it's actually he's carved you. So he's taken skin out and gouged skin out. And he's made like a 3D picture of you in the palm of his hand. It also says that he holds you in the palm of his hand. Hands are incredibly powerful because it's got a picture of the latent and potential power of God flooding into you, through you, to your children, to others, to heal the sick. When we pray, what do? We put our palms together. Where did that come from? When we praise, we raise our palms to heaven. Why? It's because a picture of the latent potential power in me being resurrected through the power of God coming to me. You'll even see, like I was thinking about fortune tellers, that there's something big about the palm, and you can see it in the negative side of the spirit realm. There's something big about a palm that we haven't even begun to delve into. In Exodus 19:6, I love this because we are kings and we are priests. The palm of our hands and the crown on our heads. It represents ruling and reigning in life. The crown of righteousness in James 1:12, the eternal crown. God speaks about it in 2 Corinthians 9:25. It speaks about the restoration of Jesus and the Godhead being united with mankind. And can you imagine that? You're one with God. Nothing that you can ever do will stop that oneness that you have with God. That's incredibly powerful. It's just the restoration of us as kings and priests here on earth. So hay is the restoration of God's promises of his life and his covenant coming into you. Then we've got the third one. It's called a tav. Thank you. And it's pronounced tav. I don't know how to get you to remember that. You're going to have to just put your brain on. And its picture graph is a cross. I mean, how's that? This word was used 400 years before the cross even came into being as far as a form of death. And its picture graph was a cross. And it was used, or it was said, as a sign or a seal or a stamp. And it was like your signature. So if you were going to put your tav down. So God, in the restoration, has put his tav on our lives. And we all know that the Bible says, I'm jumping ahead of myself, the seal of his approval, the sign of his promise. And so God has put his tav on you. I know for people that are illiterate, you'll say to them, put your tav right here. And then, you say, put your cross. So cross is used as a mark or a symbol of a person. Don't know how the forensic writers would determine whose tab was whose if everybody just did crosses for their signatures, but they did in the days gone by. 2 Corinthians 1:22, he sets a seal of ownership on us. He put his tab on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit to confirm. I mean, isn't that amazing? If you could look in the spirit realm, if you could close your eyes and see in the spirit realm, there would be a tav on you. So wherever you drive, wherever you walk, there's a tav on you. And that is what gives you the right to say restore, because it's in restore. It represents the Holy Spirit in us, just saying, these people belong to Jesus. They belong to the God Most High, and it's our guarantee of restoration. Tav is also the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it just says to me that it's a covenant that he's making with us from now until the end of time. An unbreakable covenant. It's a seal of our covenant. Jesus will restore what he did not take away in Psalm 69, verse 4. And this is important because I just want to quickly elaborate here. Oh my gosh, I'm waffling again. Can I do it, please? Are everybody okay? It's my birthday and I can preach longer, hey? Okay. In the biblical days, where you read about Exodus and Deuteronomy and all the boring ones, forgive me if you love those chapters in the Bible, but you'll see there where the law was brought into place because people were stealing from each other, and it must have been pretty easy in those days, hey? You didn't have to break windows and climb through burglar guards. You'd just go into their garden and take a sheep or a cow, whatever you wanted. Because, hello, what kind of security did they have? Maybe shepherd boys, but you just go take what you want. So it was pretty easy to steal. But in the Bible, it says that if those people were caught stealing, the first thing that they had to do, before you could go and beat them up for taking your cow or your sheep or your ox, is they had to go to the temple, because the temple was like the courts. And they would have to take a trespass offering. And that would be a bird or a cow or a sheep or whatever the temple demanded of them. That would have to be forgiven for their sins. Then, depending on what they took, they had to then get that person a sheep back and another sheep or an ox back and 5 ox. So, but first of all, before they could do that, they had to do the trespass offering. In the scripture, the Bible says Jesus became our trespass offering. So he restores what he did not take away from us. So he's gone to the courts of heaven, to the spirit realm, and said, if these people are stolen from, I'm paying for them. And 120% will be restored to them. And 120% is the minimum that can be restored to you, because it goes up to 500%. But Jesus became that trespass offering for no rhyme or reason, for all, because all mankind he knew was going to sin. So he said, I'll be the trespass offering. They've been stolen from, I'm the trespass offering, I've paid for that, I've offered my blood, I've offered my whatever, now I will restore to them. And that's why we have to lean very heavily on God in this. So, hay is the restoration of promises, life, and the covenant of God coming into man through the cross. It's his stamp of approval on our lives. Then we've got the aleph. Aleph. And this is where you get your Elohim. I believe Abba is part of it. Adonai. The aleph of God is in the word restore. Now, in fact, the aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it has the first letter and the last letter represented in the word restore. To me, he's saying to you and I, from the beginning to the end of time, whatever is stolen from you, I will restore. It's the beginning to the end. The picture graph of the aleph is an ox head with a cross through it. Some of them have got a cross through them, and some of them don't. Okay. And what if you see that picture of the ox head, it's saying restoration of leadership and strength. I mean, how's that? That's part of what he wants to restore to you. You'll see, like, in things like I Love Watching I Survived, and these people are about to die. And then they look to heaven and they pray. And then they get this spurt of energy and they don't know where it came from. That was the aleph of God coming into them. It was his strength coming into them. God wants us to be the head and not the tail. And from now on, when you say restore, you must know that you are declaring your covenant that you are in with God to the thief who came to kill, steal, and destroy. He is restoring your ability to rule and reign on earth, which is what we've been saying. I'm here to rule and reign. He is your aleph. So we've got hay is God's restored promise of abundant life and his covenant made with us. Kaf, is our latent potential power to rule and to reign as kings and priests restored to us. Tav is the restoration of mankind through the cross by placing his pre-approved stamp of approval on us. And Aleph is his restoration of our strength and our leadership. So simply put, restoration shouts out, from the beginning to the end of our lives, we are in an unbreakable covenant with God, so that everything I need for life and godliness is mine because of the cross. The Aleph represents heaven coming to earth. It represents God reaching down to us and lifting us up. It also speaks of the mystery of the oneness of God. We've left the aleph behind, which is the ox head, so keep the ox head in your brain. It represents the eternal aspect of God with no end. And it speaks of two realms coming together as one. As it is in heaven, let it be here on earth. Restore here what it looks like in heaven. So Philippians 2 verse 6, Jesus became the likeness of us so that he could restore what was in heaven to us. You've got in the original aleph, you've got that line that runs between the two. Basically, it's a hook joining God and man, representing the joining of heaven and earth. And he is our alpha and our omega. And that's what he says. He wants to complete us and to restore us. But no one says restore. It represents our heavenly position and right standing with God. It represents his enabling power that takes a hold of our lives in a very tangible way. Basically, it's making something that is inanimate, animate, something that's dead, alive. So we'll see in the word restore, you've got your hands raised to God, heaven coming to earth, God reaching down to man. You've got your palm held up, but you also have a crown of royalty on your head, and your palm, which is the restoration of the latent power of God flowing through you, all because of the tab, the cross of Jesus, his mark, his sign, his seal of approval. And because of that, we have the restoration of leadership and strength in our lives, ability to rule and reign over life's circumstances. Do we get this? Okay, now I want us to pray. And I would like you to all stand, but you are not allowed to go away because it's my birthday. And I've got to read one last thing to you, okay? Sorry, everybody, this is not going to be long, I promise you, but there are people here that when I spoke, you think, flip, this needs to be restored to me. Huh, that was taken from me. Why am I just standing still and hiding in a room as if I'm the thief? I mean, I often say here in South Africa, we're the ones behind the burglar guards. And I think it's so, you know, whereas the others should be behind the burglar guards. And that's what we've become like. We've become like a people that have been plundered. And God is saying, please, in your darkness, in the place where you feel like you've been robbed from, I want you to shout out, restore. But he says, but nobody's saying it. And just as I spoke about the power of our words, why does God want us to say restore? Can't he flip them all just restore to us? Why? Why must I say restore? Surely God and all his goodness and his greatness and his ability will just restore? No, he's saying, I want you to say restore. So when you rob from, when you plundered, you need to have this, restore Jesus, restore, restore, restoration over my life. And I want that to be like the first words on your tongues. I want to pray for people where they feel that their lives have been plundered because of sin, because of promiscuity, because of drunkenness, alcohol, whatever. You have lost years of your life because you have been caught in a trap of the devil, hiding in a little dark room, doing things you shouldn't be doing. And God wants to restore you. He wants to restore those. I want to pray for people who have had a loss of inheritance and fortunes. I want to pray for you to be restored. I want to pray for family walls to be restored. Just as a city represents itself with its walls, there are families whose walls have fallen down. And I want to pray for restoration of family walls. I want to pray for hearts to be restored. Because in the same way as your family's walls can be broken down, your heart's walls can be broken down. And when your heart's walls are broken down, you're plundered. Because the Bible says, guard your heart. So I want to pray for that. And I want to pray for health, because health is part of this. The word restore means health, healing, repair jobs, whatever. We're going to just pray restore. So are we all ready to pray? If you are not needing restoration in your own life, you will be needing it at some time. So keep this word in your heart and in your mind. But right now, I want you to gather around the people who are standing. Please gather around. You're all kings and priests. You all have palms. Okay? You all have palms. Please find. Okay, those that are standing, raise your hands now because everybody's standing. Sorry, those that were standing for prayer, raise your hands. Please gather around those people. Please. I want the latent potential power of God to be made manifest in your life through your hands. Are you with me? Has everybody got their... Yeah, I also want to pray for people who want their relationship with God restored. If you don't know Jesus and you've never had your relationship with God restored, that's your first place to start with. So if you're in this building and you've never given your life to Jesus and you... What I've spoken about today has been a lot of gibberish. And you want to have a relationship with God the Father, I want to pray for you for restoration in your relationship with God through Jesus, through the cross. Okay, already, all gathered round, all the latent potential power ready to flood through our bodies. And I'm not joking, no, there's latent potential power in this building. You guys are kings and priests. Right now, I want to pray that the latent potential power that is in heaven will come to earth through these people's hands. And Father, I want to pray that a time and a moment of restoration will begin right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. I say restore, restore what the locusts have stolen, restore family walls, restore broken hearts, restore fortunes and inheritances, restore health. I speak these things over every individual in this building, standing, waiting with their palms raised to heaven for the release of the power of God to come into their lives and into that situation. I just say, restore, 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 right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that it would be from the beginning, what has been stolen, to the end of what has been stolen, restored to each and every individual. Thank you, Father, that I didn't make the word restore up. You said it. You're a God of restoration, and I ask right now by the Spirit of God that in the natural realm you would manifest restoration in every individual's heart. I just speak to the spirit realm, and I ask for the angels that are from heaven to come and begin to minister and to make straight and make paths and to realign. I speak to the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness, and I command you to take your hands off of these covenant people. You see the sign of cross upon them. You see that Jesus became the trespass offering. Restore. Jesus, thank you that we don't demand that our restoration is from the devil, but Lord, our restoration is from you. Because you said you will restore what you did not take away. So restore, Jesus. Restore, restore, restore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Restore everything that has been stolen and taken and plundered and robbed. Restore strength and leadership to individuals and to this house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you could indulge me, I have gone way over my time. Stephen really tried to prep me. He said, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes. I don't know why I do it, but anyway. I want to read the prophetic word to you from Graham Cook. I feel like it's very pertinent to this house. It's going to take me 2-3 minutes to read it, max. So you can all sit down and relax. Because I feel that this was a very pertinent prophetic word, and it was also the one that triggered the word restore in my heart. Okay, so we're all ready, and I want you to take this prophetic word home. If you're wanting this prophetic word, I can, and you want it emailed from the church, give your email address, and I'll ask Nita or somebody just to have it on file, and they can just forward it to you. It's by Graham Cook. He says here, can it come up? In a season of change, there will be some people who will leave us. Some will be fair weather friends and perhaps no great loss. Others may be leaders and ministries, key people in the work, in spiritual, financial, and relational realm terms. We may lose friends and people who we have come to depend on. All our resources will come under attack. We've seen that in this house. Whatever the prophetic promises about resources and anointing that God will release to us, we will suffer a contraction before we will experience expansion. It is a grievous experience when we know that people who should have known better leave us and go elsewhere. People who have a level of maturity and wisdom but cannot see the point of what is happening. Some leave because of personal ambition. Others leave for a quieter life and greener pastures. People are thought were anchor point and are now no longer there, and we feel adrift in a sea of turmoil. Surprising things happen in transition. Anchor people leave, and those who were drifting suddenly put down roots and are a stabilizing influence. Adversity changes people for the better as well as the worst. The devil seals people away from the work, but not everyone who leaves is deceived. Some will leave legitimately in God. Many, though, are taken from us, and we cannot endorse their departure. In manifestation, the Lord makes the enemy pay for his handiwork. In Exodus 22, verse 1, we read, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he will restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. An ox is a working animal and therefore represents a leader or a key gift in the church. A sheep represents a church member. I believe we have permission at this time to ask for retribution and repayment. But now we look to Jesus. Look back over the period of transition to people who have been lost to us, to this house. Possibly we've had to release an enforced church plant because a bunch of people were set on leaving, and that was the most positive way to do it. Count up all the key workers and the church people who were lost. Name the types of ministries that were stripped away from the church. For every gifted person and leader, we want 5 caliber replacement. For every church member lost, we want 4 new people. This is important to really pay the enemy back. We must ask the Lord for replacement. I'm not going to shout at the devil. We're going to ask the Lord for replacement at the new level that we are occupying. We do not want replacement people at the old pre-transition level. We want people who can be a resource now at this new level. We are asking for an increase of people and the capacity to inherit the minister in the new land of occupation. We need to make the enemy regret all that he has ever done to us. We must come together before the Lord in the manner of the widow in Luke 18, verse 1 to 8, who constantly came to the judge for justice. After being refused many times, the widow finally received justice from him because of her persistence. Not that her cry was, "Avenge me of my adversity." God is the exact opposite of this unrighteous judge. He is not unwilling to hear. However, we need to come before him with persistence to request that he judges the enemy on our behalf. I believe the enemy has already been judged. We must ask for a restoration of new people at a new level. We must ask for retribution according to Exodus 22. We want people who fit the new paradigm, our lovely, amazing message of grace. We want resource church people who will fit us now and add immediate weight to current spiritual developments. Ask and keep on asking. Some of these people will join us from elsewhere. Others will suddenly accelerate growth from within. Do not stop praying until these people are present. Enjoy this time in particular. This is our opportunity to proclaim the favor of the Lord and vengeance of the enemy. Have fun getting revenge on the devil. Make him pay. Above all, enjoy this new place in the Spirit. Learn to bask in the warmth of God's favor and blessing. This is a new day. Isn't it powerful? And I want you to ask these things for this house. Stephen will take over.
Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links as well as contact details at our website www.highway.org.za. That's HIGHWAY.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.